Proverbs 29, and we're going to talk about some things this morning about getting a vision and see what God has to say to your heart and my heart. And we'll open up with that verse and we get in God's word and see what he has to say to us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory for everything that you're doing in our midst, what you're doing in our church. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our youth group with our youth pastor. And Lord, just in our church wide, children's church, Sunday school, every arena, Lord, your hand is upon, your blessings up upon. And Lord, we give it all to you. It's yours anyhow. But Father, we dedicate it to you. We give it to you, Lord. And Father, may we be used for your honor and glory. Lord, as we open up your message today, your word today, Father, may you go before us. Father, may you send your word out before us. May you prick the hearts of the people that are here. Open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears and eyes, Lord, that we can be receptive to receive your word this morning. Lord, defeat the devil, bind him up, and cast him outside of here. He's not welcome here, not wanted here. Father, just let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and freedom to work in and amongst our midst, Lord. And Father, it is an overwhelming thing just to think one day that we'll be able to sit at your feet. One day we can lean back and feel your heartbeat against us. Lord, what a day that's going to be when we can drink from the cup in your hand. Amazing time. Lord, I pray that your word will go forward today. May we be respondent to it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, talking about getting a vision. Getting a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When I think about these, I think there's threefold series to getting a vision. I think we got to look upward, we got to look inward, and we got to look outward if we're ever going to get a vision of what the Lord wants to do. This is, and we must have a vision that is lifted above the natural realm of thinking. A vision comes from the Lord. A vision comes from God. Looking to him, looking above, looking to the natural realm, unnatural realm of things, and looking to God to do extraordinary things that you and I can't dream of or fathom. We must have a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. Must have a vision of him realizing and understanding that everything we do, everything we are, everything we say, everything about a vision has to be from above. It has to be God sent, God ordained, if we're going to move in the direction that God wants us to do. It has to be from the Lord. And when I think of high and lifted up, I think of Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8. I think it says, in the year that the king Uzziah died, it said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, what? High and lifted up. In Isaiah 6 and verses 1 through 8, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. It said, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. It said, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved. The post of the door moved as the voice of him that cried. And his house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew in one seraphim unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. When I think about that, and I think about seeing it high and lifted up, Mark has a few slides that I asked him to put up there on some of these verses when we were thinking about that. Just as earlier when Danny was singing a song, the praise team was singing a song, I can just picture myself picture myself being at the feet of Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I could picture myself being there. I could picture myself leaning back against the heart and feeling Jesus' heartbeat on me, whether it's on my chest or in my back. I can picture myself being there. I can picture myself drinking from the hand of God, from the cup of God. I can picture myself being there. I can envision him being there. And that's vision, when you're able to take something and you're able to make it a reality. The mind does amazing things for you and I. And when we're able to look at that, and we're able to hear that song, and able to close our eyes and picture ourselves, what a day that's going to be. Can you close your eyes? Did you picture it in that song? I just sit at your feet. Sit at your feet and feel your heartbeat. Drinking from the cup that is in his hand. Can you picture yourself being there? Can you picture what that's going to be? And when I thought about Isaiah, and I thought about what he said, in the first verse he said, "And I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne." He said, "High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I think about that. That's your cue. I think about that. When you see him sitting up and you see him picturing the Lord, and the fire comes through, you can roll through them, Mark, all of them I asked you to put up. And seeing him high and lifted up, and his train filling the area, and seeing that's Isaiah's picture of everything we just read in those eight verses. Seeing Jesus high and lifted up, seeing his train filling the temple, and then seeing the seraphim, he said, and he stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings, and twain covered his face. It said one cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is he." And then when I looked at verse 5, it said, then he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." And verse 6 says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto him." Then flew one of the seraphims unto him with a live coal. He said, with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon his mouth and said, "Lo," he said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged." And I think about when the blind and all those that were sick and lame and maimed, I think about when they were gathered around at the pool of Siloam, and they were waiting on the angel to stir up the water, and they were waiting on the angel to come down and trouble it up. And I think about that. Woo! Glory to God. And I think about Jesus sitting up there and picturing him in his holy and his glory, and the angel and the cherubim coming down and stirring up the water to make it happen just for one person that stepped in there to be healed. And I think about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God every time we get in his word, how God begins to move and work, how his Holy Spirit begins to work in us and move in us, just as it did with what Isaiah was seeing. And we need to understand, my friends, we have got to be looking upward, looking to what Jesus is doing. Get our eyes focused on him and let him trouble the worlds of our soul. Let him speak to our heart. Let the Holy Ghost, Mark can vouch for this. You know, we've had several dead Baptist preachers around here that are deader than dead. And when you go to most of the Baptist churches, they're deader than dead. And the Baptists got a bad rap. And they invite me to some of their dinners and stuff. And I won't go to them no more. Well, Mark can tell you why. Mark went with me to the Pentecostal preachers meeting Thursday. He went with me there. And we went to Pizza Hut. And I ate with about eight other Pentecostal preachers. And Mark was there with us. And we had a shouting glory hallelujah time. Amen. And I told Mark, I said, the reason I eat with him because I want an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said, if us Baptists would just get a dose of the Holy Ghost, we might get excited about what Jesus wants to do in our life. Amen. Mark left there. He said, no wonder you like to eat with them guys. I said, they're a whole lot better than eating with Baptists. Amen. Most of them hate one another anyhow. And that's reading half sit on this side and half on the other side, because this half don't like that half. Thank the Lord it ain't in this church, though. But most of them, that's what it is. That's what goes on. But you know what? It's being filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we would just look upward, if we would just look to the Lord, if we'll look to him, He will fill us with his power. He will give us the vision that he wants us to go in. He will give us the blueprint and map it out for our direction for 2012 if we would just look upward to him. He tells us in Isaiah 40 and verse 22 through 31, he says this. He said, it is he, it is God, it is he that sit upon the circle of the earth. It's the Lord that's got it under control. Yes, Satan might got it kicked out of heaven, and he might be what they say, the prince of power of this earth, roaming around seeking whom he may devour, but the Satan needs to understand who's still in control, and it's Jesus. It said, and he is sitting up on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants there are as grasshoppers that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. They bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, those shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and as a whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye be likened me? He said, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. He said again, what do we need to do? Look where? Look upward. And what did he say? Lift up your eyes where? On high. And behold, he hath created these things. That bringeth out the host by number. He calleth them by the names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power and not faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, is that tells the scientists right here who created it. It's the Lord that created it. The Lord that was creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is none that searches his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's about the Lord. He's the one that's in control. It's about looking upward, looking to him for divine division, looking for him for divine sanction, looking for him for direction in our life, for vision in our life. He tells us in Proverbs 25, 3 through 5, and you know it's one of my favorite verses. He says to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. He didn't say part of your heart. He said all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. You're looking for direction. You're looking for vision. For 2012, we need to look upward and trust the Lord with all our heart. He's got it under control. He's got a plan worked out for you and me. The vision that he has for this church is amazing. God has it all worked out. God has it all worked out. I hope y'all didn't have pot roast in your oven today, because you ain't going to get it at 12. And a few visions of this church from our Sunday school director and assistant director. It said, God has put a passion in my heart. Over the years, he has equipped me for a mission. My passion is to follow the great commission given to us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. In order to accomplish this commandment here at Crossroad Community Church, the Lord has given me a vision. My vision is, and this is coming from our Sunday school director, from Max and Miss Becky, and it says, exalt the Lord. Evangelize the lost, encourage one another, edify the believers in the word. My vision is to see us develop new Sunday school teachers, new Sunday school classes, to teach them, to train class officers, to become secretaries, in-reach leaders, care group leaders, outreach leaders, fellowship leaders, prayer warriors and leaders. I want to promote close relationships with one another, to reach out to visitors and members with the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple them and teach teach them that Jesus saves in them and God's word. I want to develop a hunger and a thirst in people by feeding them God's word and sharing with them his great love. There's so much to learn about the Lord Jesus, and I'm so excited that we could present an endless schedule of Bible classes year-round where we will possess to do and process to do right now what we're doing. And it's talking about all these things, my friends, and what God wants to do. And I want us, with Tom and Serena, it says, we want to thank you so much for sending us to Commander College. The valuable information we obtained from these classes can't be described into words, which we are sure and educated we will receive will carry us into Awanas in this year and the years beyond. It says sharing the gospel with young kids is a privilege, and with this privilege comes great responsibility. Tom and I decide we are going to be accountable with the ministry God has entrusted to us at this point in our lives. We don't take this position lightly. We commit it to the Lord. We are committed to train up children in the way they should go. We are excited to embark on this task, and we must acknowledge we can't do it on our own. We need others to help us. We're not the replacements of mom and dads. We look on the roles of mothers and fathers to step up to the plate and become encouraged to get into Awanas and help us to lead our children to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And then it has several goals that they want to do. Adopt a club and raise $360 so 65 children can be reached with the gospel through the Awanas International Program. And the list goes on. Tom and Serena, where you at? Tom and Serena, stand up. There's our folks that are in Awanas right there. There's a part of their vision that they just gave. Amen. Amen. Where's Miss Becky at? Miss Becky, where are you at? And Max. Here's our Sunday school and assistant Sunday school director right here. And I just read what he had to say. My friends, and these are the visions. These are the things. And what are they doing? They're looking upward for the Lord. Looking upward for that. Another vision from Jeff Tenter. Jeff Tenter, where are you at? Where's Jeff? Jeff still around here? Stand up, Jeff. Jeff is over our 9th and 12th grade boys. Stand up, Jeff. Stand up. Amen. This is what Jeff says. To make God's word a focal point and to teach God's word so that it is plain and simple, and at the same time challenging the young men to serve God and to make him Lord of their life, and to challenge them to get in our community and to be ambassadors for Christ. As for me, a teacher, to never stop learning about our Savior, to serve the needs of the class and each individual, to prepare young men to be men of God, and to serve and to do the Great Commission. That's one of our leaders, my friends, that have a vision for our church and what's going on. Our senior adults class, to supply materials to teach our senior adults, to have fellowships to grow in the grace and learning, and to have an exciting senior adult class that's alive and well, to stand and support the pastor and support everything that's going on at church and things of that nature. Brother Lester Eddie, where are you at? Stand up, Brother Lester. There's our senior adult pastor, our senior adult teacher that has in store what he's going to do. And then our senior high and junior high girls. Madina, where you at? Stand up, Madina. There's our senior high and junior high girls. This is a vision to nurture strong, confident young ladies in Christ by teaching them the truth according to God's word and how to stand on that truth and have mercy, which demonstrates God's love, for the girls to fully understand what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ by going out into the communities and being his hands and his feet for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tanya, a vision for the 3rd and 5th grade. People, stand up. This is Tanya doing the 3rd and 5th grade Sunday school. My wife, amen. A vision for an incredible group is to see them come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Also to teach them more about God's word. Encourage them to be the best Christian possible that they can be. My friends, and then for the babies, it's with my wife again. My vision is to see that the babies of Crossroad continue to be loved and cared for during each service, and to continue to grow the volunteer list, and to see a pager system and things like that that are easier and simplified for the parents to be a part of, and purchasing newer equipment and smaller cribs suitable for professional daycare so that we can minister to the needs of our families and our children that are coming here to exemplify Christ. That's just a little bit about the vision of your leaders that your leaders have for this church. Give them a hand. Vision. 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 And everybody is looking upward for the Lord to provide in those arenas. Looking upward. Number two is inward. This is the ability that we must possess in order to continue to grow in Christ's likeness. Did you hear me? To grow in what? Christ's likeness. What do we need to do? We need to look where? Inward. To grow in Christ's likeness. And if you don't get anything else, this is what I desire for you to get today. To look inward. We must possess, in order to grow in Christ's likeness, we must have the ability to look inward. That's called self-examination. We're pretty good at examining everybody else. Amen, oh me. We need to, Christ says, to do what? Examine ourselves. My friend, and in 2012, I want to challenge you. It's time that we do self-examination, not somebody else's examination, because God wants to change you and who you are. Not somebody else. That's God's business to change them. We need to do some self-examination, looking on the inside. Self-examination, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says what? Examine what? Did I say I'm to examine Tanya? Did I say I'm to examine Brother Earl? Say I'm to examine Miss Karen, Miss Becky, Miss Chandra? Did I say I'm to examine you? What does that say up there? Examine yourself. What's that to say? Miss Peggy, I'm to examine you. Mr. Lou, I'm to examine you. It says examine what? Yourself. It says examine yourself. That's amazing how God's word says that, isn't it? It's amazing what God's word tells us to do. It's absolutely amazing to me that God's word is full of things that we need to do. Inwardly, we're to examine ourselves. He said examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove who? Your own selves. Know ye not who? Your own self. How that Jesus Christ is supposedly and prayerfully and hopefully where? In you, except ye be reprobates. Then in 1 Corinthians 11:28, what does he say? But let a man examine who? Himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Psalms 26:2 says, examine. Man, that's amazing, Lord. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Prove Miss Peggy. Prove Miss Becky. Prove Mr. Lou. Prove Miss Karen. Prove Mr. Earl. Prove Miss Tanya. Prove who? Prove me. He said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. It's amazing. I want us to grasp this concept this year of looking on the inward side, looking on our souls, looking in our heart, and letting Jesus work in us. You see, it's easy to see the faults and weakness and shortcomings of others, but true spiritual growth is the product of inward honesty. True spiritual growth is a product of inward honesty. Not pointing out the faults of somebody else. Not getting your nose where it shouldn't be. Not putting your nose in somebody else's business. Or not trying to manage where you at spirituality with somebody else's spirituality. We're to worry about ourselves and where we line up with the Lord. And I pray that we can do that in 2012. Do a better job of it than what we did in 2011. He tells us in Matthew 7:5. He said, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of, amazing Lord, are you speaking to me personally? Amazing Lord, is your scripture speaking to me? Lord, is your, when I open it up and I read that, Lord, who's it speaking to? When you read it, it says, examine who? Me. Examine yourself. Examine me. When we read it, and when we read this word, it says, here it says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Out of thine own eye. And then shall thou see clearly to cast out a mud out of thy brother's eye. Cast it out of your own eye. Look at your own self. Do a self-examination. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts of our heart. In Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. In Isaiah 58, 1 through 12, he says, cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Shew my people their transgression, O house of Jacob, and their sins. Show them, Lord. Yet they seek me daily. Seek the Lord daily. Delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, that they ask of me the ordinance of justice, that they take delight in approaching to God. That's what we want to do, is seek the Lord daily, to delight to know his ways, to not forsake his ordinances, and to delight ourselves in the approaching of God. That should be our heart's desire for 2012, is we want to know him more. We want to seek him more. We want to learn him more. We want to delight in his ways. We want to keep his ordinances. Wherefore we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exalt all your labors. What is it talking about? Fasting in a way that we think is necessary. Exalting our labors. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. I said it and I say it again. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And he said in verse 5, he said, it is such a fast that I have chosen. Now we're talking about the Lord's fast, that he have chosen. A day for man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him. And thou call this fast an acceptable day to the Lord. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen, the Lord, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. The Lord wants to do that today. The Lord wants to set you free. He wants to loose the bands of wickedness. He wants to lift the heavy burden. He wants the oppressed to be set free and go. And it will be done that way if we do it in the Lord. It's not to deal with our bread of hunger, and to bring the poor and thou cast out of thy house. Why seest thou naked and to cover him, and thou hide not thy face from thine own flesh? Then shall the light break forth in the morning, and then health shall bring forth speedily, and the righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt they call upon the Lord, and he shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thy yoke, and putting forth the finger, and speak in vanity, and if thou draw out of thy soul to hunger, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise out of the obscurity. Then shall the light rise. Obscurity means rise out of darkness, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in a drought. Are you thirsty today? Are you in a drought? Well, the Lord can provide and satisfy that soul in a drought today, if you're there. And make thy fat thy bones. Just look at me. It's working pretty good. Y'all can say amen, whatever you want to. It's your turn to be a part of this. It said, and I shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose water fell not. And they that shall be with thee shall build the old waste places. They shall build up, and they shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in. Why don't we take 2012 and be the repairer and the restorer, and build up the waste places and make them to where God can be honored and glorified through it? Make a decision in 2012, instead of being the one one that points faults out about everybody instead of being the one that wants to sit there and pull the beam out of somebody else's eye? Won't we be the one that'll lend a hand instead of pointing a finger? That'll be a restorer. That would be one that'll be a rebuilder, my friend, for 2012. It's time we look on the inside. It's time we look upward and inward to see what God wants to do in our lives, my friends. Thou desirest true things, my friend, that we see when we look on the inward and we see what the Lord wants to do. Number one, the heart of honesty will produce two indispensable things in a Christian's life. Number one, it will give us a divine desperation. What we understand is what Isaiah did in 6:5. Isaiah 6:5, when he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." He didn't say, "Woe is such and such, they're undone, they need Jesus." He didn't say that, did it? It said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." We need to worry about us. We need that divine desperation to look on the inside. And then divine dependence, understanding without the Lord we can do nothing. In John 15:5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Without the Lord, we can do nothing. And we need to acknowledge and look upward to the Lord. We need to look inward and understand what the Lord is doing to put in us a divine desperation, a divine dependence, which will result in divine assistance. Look at Isaiah 6 and 6, 7 again. And it said, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues from the altar. And he laid it upon" who? "My lips, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." And he's talking about divine assistance that come from above. And the last thing, my friends, we need to do, not only look upward, not only look inward, but look outward. In Isaiah 6:8, he said this, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Looking outward for the Lord to send you into his ministry. He tells us in John 4:35, he says, "Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then the harvest come. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Looking up to the Lord, my friend, that is what we want to do. Danny, you guys can come back. That is what we want to do, my friends, is get a picture, to get a vision in order for us to do what the Lord has required for us to do and wants us to do. First and foremost, number one in our life, we got to look where? Upward. Got to look to Jesus to direct us in what it is that he wants to do in our life. Then number two, in 2012, make a decision. Lord, will you examine me? Lord, will you examine me? Lord, will you speak to me? Lord, will you look into my heart? Lord, will you see where it is that I'm lined up with you? Instead of looking at Brother James, instead of looking at Miss Karen, instead of looking at Lou or Peggy or Becky, the ones that I picked on earlier, or Shonda, instead of looking at them, it's time that we look at us. It's time that we let the Lord look at our heart and look at us and examine me, Lord. Examine me. See where I am, Lord. Examine me. See what is in my heart that can be corrected of you. Examine me and see where I line up with you, Lord. And if we did that, we would probably be a whole lot less likely to point our finger at somebody else. If we just take and look on the inside of us and see where it lines us up. Looking upward, looking inward, and then looking outward to see a field wide on the harvest. People are dying and going to hell, and you and I have the answer that we need to take to them. Amen.